This is the Business Report with Gary Strubel on Nova 103.5.
Good evening and welcome to it. It's Thursday evening and we are towards the tail end of January. That means we're back from a well-deserved break. I had a wonderful holiday visiting family and friends all over the country. And as we look at the 20th of January, it's been a good 5 weeks since I've been speaking to you on the radio. I hope that you've celebrated adequately and appropriately over Christmas and New Year and spent time with loved ones and reflected on the challenges that lie ahead of us in 2022. We'll get a little bit more into looking ahead towards this year in the show. We've got lots coming up in the show. We talked to David Shapiro, renowned market commentator from South Africa. Michael Apple from BizNews will take us around the BizNews website on some of the biggest stories there. We also managed to replay a segment, which was a wonderful interview we did late last year with Dr. Lakey Hangala, a spotlight on his very prestigious career. And we also follow up on this continuing story as Beeper continues to annoy consumers and business owners, and perhaps not unfairly, to be fair to Beeper as well. Sometimes the story is being put out a little bit, so we will get on top of that as well. Lots to look forward to in the show. Let's get right into it with the BizNews Flash Briefing.
Rebuilding the economy starts now. RMB Namibia Corporate and Investment Banking, proud partner of BizNews.
SARS whistleblower Johan van Lochenberg's house was burgled this week, marking the second state capture witness to have their home invaded in a week. While typical criminality common to South Africa could be at play, van Lochenberg says that several factors about the burglary indicate that this was not a normal break-in. Given its proximity to the burglary of former GCIS CEO Themba Maseko, another state capture whistleblower, as well as the release of the first part of the state capture report, observers are raising red flags. There have been calls for authorities to take whistleblower safety more seriously. U.S. biotech billionaire Patrick Soon-Shiong on Wednesday launched a plant that will produce a billion COVID-19 vaccine doses in Cape Town by 2025, fulfilling a long-time plan to help bring greater health equity to the country of his birth. Africa struggled to secure vaccines while wealthy countries were already giving their population shots. While doses have started flowing to the region, the continent is seeking ways to ensure it isn't left behind again. In May, Soon-Shiong said he would give an initial 3 billion rand to South Africa to help with the transfer of new technology for COVID-19 vaccines and other therapies, including for diseases such as cancer, HIV, and tuberculosis. Consumer inflation rose to its highest level in 5 years in December, backing the case for a potential increase in interest rates as soon as next Thursday, when the Reserve Bank's Monetary Policy Committee will sit down for its first scheduled meeting of 2022. Consumer price inflation, as measured by Stats SA's Consumer Price Index, hit 5.9% year-on-year in December, its biggest annual increase since March 2017, when the rate was 6.1%. The MPC meeting comes against a backdrop of increased market volatility, which is driven by uncertainty on the extent to which the U.S. Federal Reserve will increase rates to tame inflation, which rose to an annual rate of 7% in December, the highest since 1982.
A sudden storm shouldn't disrupt your long-term outlook. Access RMB's flexible short-term liquidity. Rebuilding our economy starts now. RMB Namibia, a division of First National Bank of Namibia Limited.
Gary Strubel on the Business Report.
For many of you, it might feel already as if the year's gotten off to an enormous start, 20 days into January, and nearly 7.5% through the year already. But we must still look ahead and think about what's coming up. This is the lead story, and this lead story is proudly brought to you by Alexander Forbes. Alexander Forbes, let us help you secure your financial well-being now and in the future. So, talking about the future, we've asked prominent Namibians from all walks of industry and social life to give us their thoughts on what they think are the predictions and the trends that we might see emerging in 2022. Here's what Namibia has to say.
My name is Jasmine Opperman. I'm a consultant and expert in international terrorism and violence. The culture of self-entitlement be replaced by a culture of responsibility, where governments realize that their policies and actions have direct bearing on how people respond, and that can easily translate into frustration and into acts of terror. For people of the world, I wish that there will be greater tolerance, greater understanding for diverse cultures, for diverse faiths, for diverse way of life, and in that, ensuring that we as a world community always stay sound and reasonable, always be one of a stabilizing voice rather than a one of seeking confrontation and incitement that directly gives way to what we are experiencing and what we've experienced last year in terms of political violence and terrorism as a harsh reality that will never fade in our world.
My name is Marius Kudumo, and I'm a public policy analyst. If we use last year as an indicator, there were actually issues within political parties, internal issues. We must also take into account that the governing party, for example, SWAPO, is going to go to Congress. Therefore, someone expects that many of the political parties, many of the politicians will be positioning themselves for positions in these political parties. So we are likely to see activism in political parties. Therefore, there is a lot of internal matters within political parties. We have seen a lot of some squabbles within political parties and suspensions. And I just hope that those matters will be dealt internally because they can take away their focus on major governance issues that are affecting this country.
My name is Bruce Hansen from So Many Storm Securities. My expectations and hopes for 2022 is that Namibia is a country and individual Namibians will recognize their value. I'm hoping that we have learned from history, especially the last 3 years, that we must steward our scarce resources with the utmost care to the benefit of the nation. I hope that we thoughtfully and speedily remove the regulatory impediments that prevent small and medium-sized businesses to flourish. And I hope that we will apply our minds dynamically, creatively, and diligently to identifying and solving our social and economic problems. I'm hoping for an intentional and strategic cooperation between private sector, government, and the non-governmental sector. This includes pooling and employing our respective resources for the collective good, especially in the financial sector, where I believe we have a myriad of resources. Pooling these resources will, one, include leveraging on the research capability of our tertiary institutions, using proper research to help identify, inform, and address our social and economic challenges. Secondly, develop the capability of our vocational training centers, where we help young people to understand the value of practicing a vocation, a trade, which we are in dire need of. This will also help create employers and not just employees. And thirdly, teach youngsters in the areas of business so they could aim to become business owners.
I am Piet Goos. I am the president of the Namibian Agricultural Union. I always say that we've got a very bright future in agriculture, but we do have a lot of challenges. We are busy with herd building since the drought that we have experienced in the previous number of years. We've got good markets. We've got responsible corporate partners, and we do have, all of us do have the same vision to grow agriculture. We've got a number of obstacles, politics and policies and weather. We do not have any control on the weather. We might experience a drop in the weaner calf prices and extreme increase in cost in maize products. And that will affect the poultry industry, that will affect the dairy industry. So there's a lot of obstacles. And then we've got threats that will hinder us from reaching the growth opportunities that we have. And that is the poaching of cattle that's absolutely getting out of hand. When they steal the livestock, they also steal the job opportunities. And our partner, the government, needs to really come to the table and really try to solve this problem together with us, because this is out of hand and out of control at the moment, and that will lead to a detrimental situation in the agricultural sector.
My name is Gita Petzold. I'm the CEO of the Hospitality Association of Namibia. And 2022 started very positive for us here in Namibia with all the travel bans lifted to the southern African part of the world. And things are looking up. We really have reason to be cautiously optimistic about a good year 2022. We really hope that tourism will take off from here, recover, revive, and really prosper in 2022.
This is Danny Mayer from SME Compete. So although there's caution, it is a lot more positive as we start the year. Engaging with entrepreneurs around the country, many of them have had to reposition businesses, diversify, trim off wastage, and they feel a lot more bullish about this year than the previous year. And the year has started well for some, although those that are reliant on public sector business are still struggling. Joblessness is still a problem, particularly in the smaller urban areas, and so there will have to be investment. And this means that the local economic development department of town councils and municipality will have to up their game to see how they can, one, support local businesses, and secondly, of course, attract some new business activity into their respective towns.
I'm Gwen Lister, Chair of the Namibia Media Trust. It's very difficult to give a prognosis or prediction in times like these, especially in the midst of this global pandemic with the resultant negative economic impact. But in my view, the biggest challenge we have is to seriously tackle unemployment. We've seen the shocking statistics of Namibians living in poverty, and it's a ticking time bomb if we don't get a grip on this. Much is also being said about the possibilities of green hydrogen, but little is being said about the kind of job creation that will result and what skills may be needed for this so that people can prepare. For the rest, I think it's very important that we continue to expose corruption, which is obviously eating resources meant for the poor. And also, just as importantly, to tackle the problem of mismanagement, which also takes a huge toll on both our infrastructure and resources. Further, I believe that we need to focus a bit harder on our work ethic as a nation and start to appoint people to key posts on merit, because we still have a long way to go in alleviating the situation that we find ourselves in.
Hi, my name is Ian Collard, and I'm the CEO of the Namib Moles Group of Companies. We are at the beginning of 2022, second year that we starting with COVID-19 in our midst. And I'm starting to be positive after a 2 year stint of having all these troubles regarding the coronavirus. I think this year specifically, us being involved in fast-moving consumer goods or basic foodstuffs, that the economy will start to recuperate after the spell that we had been in. I'm, however, concerned with the fact that all of us had a lot of excuses the past 2 years regarding something else, which was basically the effect of the COVID-19 pandemic. I think we should move away from that, look forward, and we should also move back to good work ethics for the whole country so that we all can actually start to rebuild. I'm looking forward to a good raining season, and a raining season in Namibia that is above normally gives a lot of positive energy throughout the economy, and I am looking forward to that. Thank you very much.
And as we look out of the studio window, we see clouds still on the horizon. So lots of positive energy hopefully coming into the Namibian economy. Our thanks to everyone who contributed and all the thoughts and deeds. We'll have a look at the end of the year at some of these and see who we can give the Crystal Ball Award to. This lead story was proudly brought to you by Alexander Forbes. Alexander Forbes, let us help you secure your financial well-being now and in the future.
It's the Business Report with Gary Struble. Namibia's business leader on Nova 1035.
Lots of good stuff still coming up in the show, but now it's time for the Spotlight. And this Business Report Spotlight is brought to you by Safland Property Group. Safland Property Group, a leading provider of property services since 1992. Our guest tonight in the Spotlight, where we look at the lives and doings of prominent Namibians, is Dr. Lakie Hangala, who is currently the executive chairman of the Hangala Group and has exceptional directorship experience. He's been the managing director of NamPower, permanent secretary in the Ministry of Mines and Energy. He holds a PhD in geology and mineralogy, obtained from the University of Helsinki in Finland back in 1987. He's got a BSc and MSc, and he also holds a certificate in management from the very prestigious Harvard University in the United States. Dr. Lakie Hangala, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Dr. Hangala, please tell us a little bit about your journey to your current position.
I studied geology in Finland, and after independence, I was the first permanent secretary of Mines and Energy from 1990 and 1995. And thereafter, I formed Hangala Group, a diversified company. We are in financial services, we are in construction, property development, and agribusiness. Well, it has been a long journey, a tough journey, but also we are counting our blessings.
Thank you, Doctor. Tell me, what are some of the biggest opportunities that we are not exploiting in terms of business as a country?
Well, I think naturally agribusiness, to produce our own food, to process our own food and to feed our people, is one of the business opportunity. We saw now an opportunity of going green in terms of energy. We have the sun, we have the sea, we have the land. So, yes, these are some of the areas.
All right, Dr. Hangala, this is the bit where you get to pick a song that you love to give us a little bit of insight into your musical taste, and also to allow someone to criticize you, because that's what happens when you pick your best songs. So tell us a little bit about, or tell us, what song are we playing for you tonight?
A song. Tarif and Maris is so fair and my heart. Ekferang on your heart. That's my song.
That is brilliant. Well, we don't even need to play the song now. We've had the best version we could possibly have, but let's play it for you anyway. It's Len Miller and Steph Boss with Sorry Marie.
My sou vang en ver oor die see wegsteer. Toe vlug ek na die kant van die Appingtonse sand, onder langs die groot rivier. O, bring my terug na die Oud-Transvaal, daar waar my sari voel. Soos, een krokodil, een pis, hulle sleep jou altijd water toe. En gooi jou op een skip, vir een lange, lange trip. En USC weet waar naartoe. En ik het gevecht, vir het droom. Gevecht vir wat ik gloor. Gevecht vir hier die land wat brand. En ik is moe van die oorlog, moe om nog te vluchten. And all what it go for long is huis toe gaan was daar, terug na die ou Transvaal. My liefling persoon sal seker op daar wees, om my met te kus te beloon. Bring my terug na die ou Transvaal, daar waar my saal.
That's Len Miller and Steph Bors with Sari Mare, not a song you hear a lot on Nova. And it's the choice tonight of Dr. Lakey Hangala, who picked the song and who we're talking to in the spotlight. Dr. Hangala, will you be exploring the opportunities that are presented by green hydrogen energy?
Yes, as Angala Group, we are looking to go into power generation, particularly the renewable, but not yet had gone into green energy as part of the Condesta. But in power generation, yes. And going green in the power generation. Yeah, why not?
We all know the adage that if you really want someone to be healthy, teach them to fish. Don't give them a fish. And in terms of that, we look to entrepreneurship to help build our economy. Dr. Hangala, what is your message to young Namibian entrepreneurs?
Two things. Number one, they must finish their education. Number two, they must be very focused. You know, countries are built by entrepreneurs. They must have courage to go in business, pick up that what excites them. They must work together amongst themselves or with international players so that they form business. Too much of our economy is dominated by public sector, government and state-owned enterprises. The time has come now for young Namibian men and women to join the business sector and drive our economy, in all sectors of our economy. And they must start, and when they start, I'm sure there will be no stop. Thank you very much. Okay, bye.
That's Dr. Lakey Hangala in this evening's Spotlight. Wonderful man and a wonderful sense of humor and a wonderful example to every one of us in the country. The Business Report Spotlight brought to you by Safland Property Group. Safland Property Group offering the widest range of property services in Namibia.
The Business Report. Namibia's business leader on Nova 1035.
Time now to delve into a huge pot of content and stories and intrigue. And as always, BizNews dishes that up for us on biznews.com, our publishing partners. And the BizNews Weekly Wrap brought to you by Express Credit. Money when you need it most. Now to kick off the year from BizNews, Michael Apple. Michael, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Gary. Good to join you.
So it's been, I mean, it's been a fairly tumultuous December. There's been a huge amount of interesting things happening in SA, not least of which the cricket yesterday gave everyone more hope that phoenixes can rise from ashes, which is ultimately what it seems to be appearing South Africa now needs. Let's look at some of the biggest stories on the BizNews site. And the one that really blew my mind this morning in listening to the interview that you had was obviously, the release of part one of the state capture report has had a number of implications, not least of which whistleblowers are now being targeted. Tell us a little bit more about Themba Masegu.
So Themba Maseko, full disclosure, was my boss when I worked in government over about two decades ago. He was my boss. Themba was the person who blew the whistle on the Gupta's approach to him to basically hand over 600 million rand in government advertising spend. When he respectfully declined that request from them, which was also supported by former President Jacob Zuma, who actually said to him, listen, you need to help these guys out. When he refused to do that, he was put on what in the business world would be known as gardening leave, but pretty permanent gardening leave. And it would impact his life. He was literally left unemployable, couldn't get a bank loan. He was considered a politically exposed person. He was hounded out by the very party that he'd been a member to since the 1970s. I mean, this is somebody who'd been involved with the ANC since at least 1976, the riots there. So he's had to try and cast a new life and sort of from the fringes of society try and rise, as you said, rise anew from the ashes of being a in South Africa. It blows your mind that people who stand up to do the right thing pay the highest price.
More concerning, perhaps, is and this is the link that we're drawing to other whistleblowers in other areas, is that he seems to believe, and it seems to withhold first scrutiny, that he's also now being targeted. There was apparently a break-in at his house, and there's been a couple of other things that he's experienced recently.
Yeah, so Themba Maseko blew the lid on the Guptas. There is another whistleblower, Johan van Lochrenberg, who is involved in testifying against state capture at the South African Revenue Service, SARS. Just a day or two apart, there was attempts to get into, well, in Themba Maseko's case, get into his bedroom, and in Johan van Lochrenberg's case, to get at his laptop and documents and so on. And both of them agree that this is absolutely no coincidence. Yes, crime is rife in South Africa, but the coincidence here is impossible. So they are believing that there is an orchestrated attempt to at least intimidate, silence whistleblowers. Remember, Gary, whistleblowers are murdered in South Africa. It's not outside of the realm of possibility that people breaking into a house are there to silence you permanently.
Of course. Extremely worrying, and we'll keep track of that. The state capture report has had lots of ripples, and these are perhaps the most worrying, is that fear of loss of personal life and personal attacks. We've also seen personal attacks on Chief Justice Zondo, and that doesn't look likely to let up anytime soon either.
Yeah, it's a very trying time for the judiciary, across the judiciary, I'd say, at the moment, with a very prominent parliamentary member, the Minister of Tourism, Lindiwe Sisulu, going after judges in South Africa, African black judges especially, calling them mentally colonized. In other words, I wouldn't respectfully use on any platforms. So the judiciary certainly is under attack. And of course, former President Jacob Zuma heavily implicated in part one of the state capture report, launching a fresh legal bid to have Justice Raymond Zondo removed as the inquiry chairperson. It seems pretty academic now that it's done its work, but this is coming from a man who is known for Stalingrad tactics, so he will throw the kitchen sink in front of a legal case if it'll stall it.
Someone else who's having some trying times, the president, Cyril Ramaphosa. He's had a year to forget last year, and it doesn't seem to be going away. Now the DA is seeming to be gunning for him for perjury charges.
Yeah, Dr. Leon Schreiber, he's the Public Service and Administration Shadow Minister for the official opposition, went to court, managed to get his hands on the minutes of the ANC's CADA Deployment Committee. This is a kind of a shadowy parallel structure to those who officially appoint people in government. So it's the ANC's kind of way of identifying people that they want to very strategically place in the levers of power within government institutions, state-owned entities, Chapter 9 institutions. And Dr. Schreiber is saying that March 2019, the deployment committee was singling out and making recommendations, naming particular judges that they wanted sent and deployed to particular courts, including the Constitutional Court, the Supreme Court of Appeal, Labor Court. So President Ramaphosa, when he was testifying at the commission, said, no, the deployment committee has never, ever discussed this. So the DA is saying, well, we can see you're telling pork pies by the minutes of the deployment committee meeting. So they think that a precedent has been set by going after Jacob Zuma for undermining the integrity of this commission. So if the president, the head of state, is said to be lying under oath to the commission, they say similarly he should be charged with perjury.
And just perhaps a personal view on this, does this muddy the waters of what seemingly looked like some direction for South Africa in trying to deal with what the Zondo Commission was dealing with?
Look, it's the role of the official opposition, and I assume that you're referring to the perjury charge. It's the role of the opposition to make a stink, to get media attention. I'm not saying it's unwarranted in this instance. I'm just saying that what are the reasonable prospects of success? Politicians lie to South Africans on a daily basis. Politicians lie at commissions of inquiry all the time. So it's a high-profile fish to go after, whether or not they're going to succeed. That's a tough question to answer. I doubt it.
Michael, and just lastly, a story. Piet Viljoen's always fascinating to talk to and to listen to. There's a really good story on the platform about two things that I think are quite headline-grabbing. One of them is the delisting trend. There seems to be a lot of delisting planned for this year, and there was quite a lot last year. And then the second one, perhaps just briefly comment on, is Steinhoff. 500% up from its low and nearly 50% up over the last 6 months. If the theme of today's chat is Phoenix rising from the ashes, is Steinhoff another one?
Yeah, fund manager, Piet Viljoen, very successful fund manager. That piece on business.com doing really well. The delisting trend on the Johannesburg Stock Exchange, small cap companies, it's simply the regulatory burden, the accounting burden. It's just too onerous. It's too expensive to be a small cap company on the JSE. And that has led to this delisting trend. Companies that might have gone public in the past deciding, no, we're going to return, go to private. So he had a lot to say on that. And then regarding Steinhoff, well, their shares could be picked up for under a buck, one rand some time ago. That has risen, as you say, to about 5.60 rand at the time that article was published. So he's saying that, look, that's not even that cheap for this stock anymore. But if there is good ethical business that is done and the sort of rot of old is removed, then this could be a good one to watch going forward.
Brilliant. Michael Apple, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Report. This BizNews Weekly Wrap brought to you by Express Credit. Money when you need it most.
Gary Struble on the Business Report. The Business Report. Podcasts on nova.com.na.
By now, of course, you know it's Thursday evening, and that means it's time for the Business Report here on Nova 103.5. And time now to go to the markets, and this Market Watch is brought to you by APS. APS, we work for you. A little bit of a change in the market feature this evening, and we're very privileged to have on the show David Shapiro, international financial guru, one-time deputy chairman, and market commentator, portfolio manager, and really just a rock star of the South African financial services industry. David, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Lovely to be here in Namibia. Brilliant.
It's, you'll be happy to know, David, it's been raining nonstop in Windhoek for a week as well. So everything eventually from South Africa overflows here at some point, even the weather. David, let's perhaps start out. The theme for the evening is it's our first business show of the year, and we're just trying to take a look forward, which we know is a futile exercise, but it's always good for a chuckle. Looking forward into 2022, can you give us just an insight as to one or two of trends or ideas or predictions you think are going to pop out on specifically the South African markets?
If we talk about the South African market, it's a bit of a surprise because one of the issues that kept us back last year or kept global markets back last year was China. And that was their crackdown mainly on tech companies. And also they tightened monetary policy. And all of a sudden this year, it's gone in reverse. In fact, China has been reducing interest rates in order to pick up its economy. There might be a political leaning towards that because I know they do have some important elections, and I put elections there in inverted commas, but certain people in authority there do have to be re-elected to their position. So they need a strong economy. And what we've seen in the first couple of weeks of our market is a very strong commodity market. Commodities have been going up, nickel price very strong, and it also looks like they've opened the taps as far as purchasing's going there. I'm talking about China. So we've seen the iron ore price, which collapsed last year from $200 a ton to under 100, is now back at 130. So we're having a bit of a rock session in commodities at the moment, and it looks like this could continue. And of course, the oil price has also remained very strong. That's because we're expecting to come out of the pandemic. A demand will be where it was pre-pandemic. And as we know, clean air is now the theme, or zero emissions is a theme that we're going to have to live with for the next decade. And it means that very little production, very little investment is going into producing more oil or producing more coal. So those prices should remain pretty steady. So that looks like it's going to be the theme for the JSE. The local market, if we look at local stocks, I think that could be a little tougher as we come out of the pandemic, and we're likely to go back to where we were pre-pandemic. That's with growth under 2%. But the JSE itself could be lifted by the mining market. So that that's a surprise theme for 2022. Just a continuation of very, very strong resource markets. Globally, maybe something different.
So, I mean, it's a term that's bandied about a bit, super cycle. Is it a super cycle? You're predicting now that it's not just a little bubble that happened due to market forces, that we're seeing long-term, we're seeing some sustainability in this trend.
Probably sustainability rather than super cycle. The super cycle we saw in 2011 and we saw at the beginning of the century, that was when platinum got to $2,000 an ounce. It's about 1,000 at the moment. Platinum was stronger, was like in the 200s or 160. So copper was strong. But nevertheless, we're still going to get a decent market in commodities, and I think that's very important. And oil, remember when we went into this pandemic in March, April 2020, that oil price was $20. It's now close to 90 or 25 thereabouts. So, the inflationary impact of that is dramatic, and I think that's going to lead to a rise in interest rates here when our Reserve Bank meets. But I think just to put it into an easy soundbite, I think commodities could be the surprise gainer this year, and we could see commodity shares doing pretty well. And we're going counter-cyclical, it's counter to the rest of the world, which is now under quite a bit of pressure because of worries about increases in interest rates, in the US, which is also a turnaround from the Fed. So that's the other surprise. We didn't quite expect what we're going through at the moment.
So let's touch on that, because that's the other big theme we see happening is suddenly in the West and the big Western economies, inflation is now a real thing. It's probably a political tool as well, and many people saying perhaps overstated and incorrectly measured, but it's certainly way above what it was. And do we see that? How do we see that impacting in a South African context? given that the rand has been held stable, well, stable is a relative term, but to some extent by higher interest rates than competing currencies.
Mm. That, you know, it's quite interesting because we're trying to put this all together. The rand, as you know, as we talk now, is very strong. It's trading about 15.15 against the dollar. Now, if you think that rates are going to go up in the US, and we're now talking about, you know, 4 to 5 interest rate hikes in the US this year, that's coming from a base where no one expected anything this year. You know, last year we were celebrating lower for longer, you know, interest rates lower for longer, and the Fed was talking about inflation as being transitory. That's all been dropped or forfeited. And now they've gone and they've done a 180 degree turnaround. And now everybody's panicking about inflation. Correctly, as you say, I think that we're over-responding, overreacting. I think a lot of the imbalances that we saw last year will work their way out. But nevertheless, you can't stop markets. And the markets are really enjoying, when I say enjoying this, the bears are enjoying it and pushing that story. I believe it will moderate. But nevertheless, if we do get interest rate hikes, if we do get, you know, 3 or 4 next year, surely that's going to draw money into the dollar, and that will draw away from the rand. So that's also a bit of a surprise at the moment that we are trading as strong as we are in the rand against what I think will unfold is money flowing back into the dollar. But and we've seen quite a bit of pressure on the Nasdaq, on the tech stocks, but Gary, for 3 years, we've had an incredible run. You know, there's got to be some kind of slowdown. And it doesn't mean that those tech companies are not going to produce exceptional profits. It just means that we're going to wait for earnings to catch up with some of the very lofty prices that we saw. So
let's zoom out a little bit. No. Let's zoom out just a little bit more and ask about the big – I mean, we've come out of surprise uncertainty with COVID. Mm-hmm. Knocked everyone. No one knew what was going on for a very long time. And of course, it's still it's an untrodden path for us from a financial perspective. But now suddenly we have the very real and prescient threat of World War III, potentially,
yes.
Or some
yes.
sort of major global conflict breaking out. And it would seem, for very good political reasons on both sides, how much does that uncertainty play back into developing economies like Namibia and South Africa?
Yeah. Well, at the moment, the market's brushing it aside. It's just keeping an eye on what's happening. But there could be an eruption there. And you're talking about Putin mainly at the moment. It is tense. We are expecting some kind of showdown there. But until it happens, I think the market's just holding back. But should there be any conflict, or even if Putin crosses the border, then I'm sure this will be reflected in a flight to safety, which is a flight to the dollar. Oil prices go up and people get very nervous. I'm just hoping they can avoid it, because I think coming out of COVID, as you say, we've had enough to handle. You know, we just don't need anything like this at the moment. But don't dismiss geopolitical issues. You know, do not dismiss the tensions between Russia and Ukraine, and also, anything can happen in China as well, although they seem to be, toning it down for the meantime.
And then just lastly, David, let's zoom right back in onto the JSE. You're known as a man who's not shy with his opinions. Do you have a little gem or two in your back pocket that you could share with our listeners as to where some of their hard-earned dollars could go to?
In our market,
yes,
definitely. I think that the miners look very good. I think that I like the diversified miners, BHP, Glencore, Anglos. I love Richemont. I just think for 20, more than 20, however long it's been listed, once it was unbundled from Rio Grande, everybody said, this is expensive. This is expensive. And every year it just got more and more expensive. And the one thing that we learn is that it's bulletproof. You know, these luxury goods are bulletproof. And I mean, they came out with a trading statement yesterday, which is just exceptional. There's huge amounts of money floating around the world lots of rich people who love to buy the kind of goods, you know, that Richemont produce. And I've said this many, many times on various shows, you know, that the best brands are Richemont. I love, you know, Rav Richemont, LVMH, Ferrari, etc. But I always advise people, you know, just buy the shares, don't buy the product. It's much safer and much more lucrative. So I'll say the same with Richemont as well. You know, you don't have to go into any case. They would never let me into a Cartier shop, you know, with my jeans and tackies and that. So.
And then I'll just throw one at you. There was a very well-written article in, I think it was the Business Day. I'm just picking this up off Twitter. You retweeted the Crystal Challenge SA's favorite stocks for 2022. Yeah. And one of my tiny little portfolio, one of my holdings, came out top. And I just love what they're doing. I think democratizing financial markets is such a wonderful marketing angle. But the guys who run Easy Equities, the Purple Group, came out the top. And any thoughts on them?
Yeah, you know what? You know why I started this last year just as a fun game, and it's still a fun game, mainly to identify just how much value there is in small caps. There's some wonderful businesses that we had, and they were thrown away in 2020. And it just shows you, if you look at the kind of gains that we made last year in this competition. And likewise, there's some brilliant company. I mean, Purple's up 20%. Rebosis, I didn't even know Rebosis existed. You know, it's up like, I don't know, 30, 40%. A company called Alphaman, which mines tin in the Congo, up also 45%. So there've been wonderful gains. And I always advise young people starting, you know, who want to just learn about the market, look at some of these small caps as well. Obviously, as your portfolio grows, you might need a little, you know, you might need to be a little more careful. But still, it's been a wonderful, such a great competition, and I'm so pleased that people are participating in it. And it's a great educational, competition, because we share our ideas on Twitter. You know, now everybody's open about it. And Gary, that's how I think things should be. You know, just share ideas with other people and help, particularly young people who want to invest for the first time. So yeah, it's been a wonderful, wonderful experience. And of course the prize is Cristal, who are also sponsoring. You know, that's about 4,500 rand a bottle. So you can't afford to mess around with this.
David Shapiro, always a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much for being on the Business Report, and we'd love to have you back on the show in a couple of weeks or months and just find out how some of those predictions went.
With pleasure. Lovely to be here. Mm-hmm.
That was the Market Watch, brought to you by APS, Africa Personnel Services. We work for you.
The Business Report. Thursdays from 6 to 7 on Novo 103.5. Gary Strubel on The Business Report.
So it would appear over December and early January, social media was abuzz when BEPA Namibia urged established businesses that are registered to submit annual returns and also to pay annual duties. The authority says most businesses are not making this payment, and this is leading to penalty fees. The emphasis on penalty fees drew various concerns from youth entrepreneurs. On Twitter, Mpangana said, BEPA's penalty fees are very harsh in the Namibian climate, especially for people waiting for their big break. I was unemployed at a time, hoping to get tenders years ago, and boy, was I wrong about that. Nangula tweeted, for an outstanding of annual returns of $800 Namibian arrears since 2012, one must pay BEPA $4,200 Namibian BEPA penalties and $800 Namibian. Is that not insane? Thumbs down, the minister must go to another ministry, otherwise she will kill entrepreneurship potential in the land. She is not industrious. Now, often looking at Twitter for intelligent comment is a little bit like rattling two stones in a tin can. So we reached out to BEPA, and we spoke to Okit Janssens, BEPA, current executive for marketing, corporate communication, and client management services, and this is what he had to say.
So just to put a bit of context on the issue of annual duties and the penalties, it's important to understand that each business has an obligation after its registration on a yearly basis to submit a annual return to the Registrar of Companies and Close Corporations. This has to be done by the end of their financial year. Together with this return, an entity is then required to pay the associated duty, which for close corporations is normally $120 yearly. If an entity does not pay or submit the return and this duty within the period prescribed by the law and they don't make the associated payment of $120, there is a punitive measure provided for in the law that automatically kicks in to say that if you've not paid your annual duty, penalties will start incurring. The total amount of penalties for a CC per year is capped at $600 Namibian, which means that if you've not paid your annual duty for that specific year, the total amount of penalties that you can incur is 600, excluding the capital amount of $120 Namibian, which basically means your total amount owing to BIPA for that year would be 720. I know there are some inquiries where entities or individuals are saying that the amount is sometimes 2,000 or 3,000. This would now be a compounded figure for all the years that you've not paid your annual duty. So as BIPA, we really urge businesses to approach us and to make sure that they are paid up or how they can get paid up, because the longer you wait, the more penalties you incur in your business and it can be subject to deregistration.
The Business Report. Thursdays from 6 to 7 on Novo 1035.
I'm David Bishop with your weekly economics wrap. Annual inflation figures for December 2021 show that general prices have increased by 4.5% in the month compared to 4.1% in November, bringing the annual inflation rate to 3.6%, which is slightly higher than the forecast of 3.5%. Government has been urged to urgently enact a consumer protection law to safeguard consumers against industries that employ unfair, discriminatory, and abusive trade practices. The Bank of Namibia has responded to Global Finance magazine ranking Governor Johannes Trauerhab one of the 5 worst central bank chiefs in 100 countries, calling both the report and the conclusions thereof fundamentally flawed. Meanwhile, the bank's Namibia interbank settlement system in 2021, for the first time since its inception in 2002, recorded a settlement value of $1 trillion due to high volumes. A milestone, the bank says, which celebrates Namibia's secure, reliable and modern payment system. To overcome rampant poverty in Namibia, the World Bank, in its latest overview, advised the implementation of crucial structural policy reforms that it said will be a prerequisite to raising domestic growth potential. This after the bank's overview indicated that some 1.6 million Namibians live in poverty, a calculation Esther Lusipani, the executive director in the Ministry of Gender Equality, Poverty Eradication and Social Welfare, disagrees with.
If you look at how they define poverty, there are different definitions of people going in poverty. For example, they say $1 a day, but in terms of them, they defined it as $5.50 per day, which actually, if you translate it in terms of monthly expenditure, that's close to like $2,600. Their definition is actually much wider. We use a definition of upper bound of poverty for close to $550 and the lower one for $308. So there is a difference.
Karas Governor Alitha Frederick on Friday handed over a site for the construction of the Kiertmanshoop Vocational Training Center, which is being funded through a loan from the African Development Bank, saying the center will boost and enhance regional skills attainment, create jobs, and aid the employability for youth in the region. And Namibia Tourism Board Chief Executive Officer Digu Naubeb said Namibia's rate of vaccination will play a crucial role in travel recovery and traveler confidence and will position the country as a safe tourism destination. While in somewhat different economic news, research conducted by the University of KwaZulu-Natal has found that the market for edible insects in the Southern Africa region is expected to exceed $270 million, or over $4 billion, by 2024. And finally, following calls by certain sectors of society to regulate the fees of private schools, which can charge on average $75,000 annually per learner at secondary school level for Namibians and well over $120,000 for international learners, we contacted the chairperson of the Private Schools Association of Namibia, Colette Rickert.
Well, the beauty about human rights is the fact that every person has a right to choose which service he enrolls for and what he can expect in return for it. If a parent wants to enroll with a private school, he or she knows the cost of that and also what he or she can expect from that school. On the other hand, if they enroll with a government school, they know that the government is limited with regard to what they can provide to the learner and the type of service and that they have to be happy with.
Namibia's business leader on Nova 1035.
So my turn now to make a few predictions. And as we look forward to 2022, I predict, and perhaps, Ray, we just write these down and play them back to me in 8 months' time. My prediction, the Namibian cricket team is going to beat a test-playing nation in a T20 contest, but a proper test-playing nation, that is. And we're going to see further improvement from the Namibian Eagles. I also predict the metaverse is going to turn out to be a massive flop. Zuckerberg, I think, is going to have his rug pulled out from behind him or below him. And I think this is the year where America starts trying to break Facebook apart, given the amount of fraudulent and illegal and sometimes even criminal activity that we see happening in the Facebook system. I can't see that surviving intact. I also see NFTs growing in terms of hype, but not necessarily in terms of substance. And conversely, Bitcoin will start being accepted as mainstream currency inside 2022. How that goes, however, might be an entirely different story. So those are my predictions for the year coming ahead. Further, I predict that this show will get better and better throughout the year. And of course, that'll happen with your input. So feel free to drop us a line or an email, tbr@nova.com.na. Let us know what you'd like to hear about, what stories you are interested in, and whether you think we are covering the kind of stuff that you want to be listening to. We value your opinion. Thank you so much for listening. Thanks to my esteemed team with David Bishop and Angie Skoltz and Raymond Seffelt, our technical wizard, making it sound like we actually know what we're doing. That's it for this evening. Have a wonderful weekend, and may the rain continue to fall on all our heads.
That was The Business Report on Nova 1035. Listen to all the segments and previous episodes with our podcast service on nova.com.na. The Business Report was presented by Gary Struble and produced by Limey Ilago and David Bishop. Comments and questions can be sent to tbr@nova.com.na.